For August the 11th, 2016, we talk about Humble's streaming partner deal, Duskers, and we ask you how you name things in multiplayer games. Welcome to Level 161. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. And I'm sorry, I am on the edge of losing my voice. My voice hasn't recovered since last week.
That's okay.
If you're not at the edge of losing your voice, you're doing something wrong.
I know, right? You must suffer for your art.
You live life on the edge, Cole.
Yeah, well, but... you talk way too much. Yeah, no. So
my favorite stroke song.
Oh yeah.
Oh. I had a little bit of an admin thing I wanted to do. I promised a listener I would do at the top of this episode.
Oh, please do.
Okay, so last episode, I mentioned a certain marathon man among the duck fed, but I was so tired that I called him by the name of one of my characters from Salem Moore, my comic, rather than his actual name.
Oh, really?
And so his name is Trevor Bonesaw, a.k.a. Bonesaw, a.k.a. Running Guardian, and people on Slack will know him as Jelly Bones.
Mm, okay.
And I was super, super embarrassed that I misspoke his name and called him something else, but I know his name because I mailed him stuff, so
right.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, I was just really tired, so the marathon man I spoke of, who does the marathoning and things and advises me about running and is very sweet, is Trevor.
Yes. Yeah, the name that you used, it's also the name of somebody else in the community or in the name that they use. And I was like, "Oh wow, I didn't know that about that person."
Well, there you go. See, I caused all kinds of problems.
That's fine. I mean, it's the worst kind of problem. It's one that doesn't look or feel like a problem.
I'll have all kinds of those problems.
Yeah.
Well, I said I would publicly shame myself about it, so here we are at the top of the episode,
how
and I have
dare
been publicly
you?
Shamed. Yeah, how dare I? How dare I
anger.
Be so tired?
How dare you slightly misspeak? Hey, if I'm going to get shit for it, everybody's got to get shit for it.
Well, actually, he was super cool about it. He was just like, LOL, that's fine. Who cares? Nobody even knows me by my actual name anyway. It's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not fine. So... there.
By doing this, you've actually put him on the grid, so they're coming for you now. Run! Which I hear you're very good at, so.
Yeah, exactly. Try to catch him, guys. Go for it. I'd like to see you try.
We're on a bit of a time crunch today, so we were not able to do our usual, usually when we start the call, we get about 15 minutes of talking and asking, hey, how are you doing? What's going on and stuff? And then we go into the banter. We haven't gotten a chance to do that. Ben, what you been up to this past week?
Not a whole lot. Just the typical week. I had a good amount of video games that I actually played this week, kind of.
Wow.
So I was happy about that-ish. Nice. So, yeah. I played D&D for the first time this last week.
Really?
How was that?
It was kind of weird. It's okay. It's interesting to, like, interpret it as a game because it's, like, half game and it's, like, half kind of, like, improv-y, like... I don't know what E, but
collaborative storytelling E.
Yeah. So it was interesting seeing that kind of mix. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, you're kind of pigeonholed into certain things that you have to do, but then in other places, it's like wide open and you can suggest doing whatever you want to do. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting seeing that mechanic.
Depending on the DM, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Which... And I used to drive my DMs nuts because I'd be like doing all these weird random things and like, you know, using spells in unorthodox ways. And yeah, I was a pain in the ass as a player.
which edition did you play, Ben?
The 5th edition, which is, I guess, the current one.
Yeah. That's the one.
I don't
Rogue
have any experience
Assassin.
With...
Started at level Ooh. 6.
As you do. Nice. How about,
you don't want to be fighting rats.
What was your
shit,
name?
Dankir Kilar, because it sounds like Dank Killer.
Nice.
That's awesome, because as soon as you said the name, that was exactly where my brain went to, and then you just, you know, underlined it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jala, how about you? How was this past week?
Yeah.
You know what? That one syllable speaks volumes.
That's all we need to know.
Yep, that's it. That's the end of my pre-roll.
I'm sorry. Let us try and lighten that load. Yeah. And how about you? Dennis? Any cool stories over the past week?
It was a streamy weemy week for me. I was all over that Destiny tip and that Dark Souls 2 tip, but I'll be talking about that more.
Okay, cool.
In a bit.
Yeah. So it's funny. I've basically been crashed out like ever since I got back. Like haven't played much of anything. I did some Galarians on a stream, but that's really the only thing I've played. Like everything else has been reading and then like watching shows. So it's going to be real light on content for me this week, at least related to video games.
Well, we wanted to do a quick episode, so
yeah. So
yeah, we are primed and ready for a level speedrun.
Not like that one you guys did a couple of years ago. That was hilarious.
No, that was using some lead hacks there. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a tool.
This is a non-glitch run.
It was a tool assisted podcast, as opposed to a podcast full of tools.
I mean, when I'm on, it's always a tool assisted podcast. So.
We both made the same joke. Pretty good. With that in mind, I think we've achieved a requisite level of banter. I think we should get into the meat of the show, all of this, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And we're going to start with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Let's see here, Jala, what you got?
Okay, so first thing, I've got a really quick follow-up. I mentioned Upsilon Circuit on episode 123, which was back in October of last year.
Yeah, it's last
now,
year.
Upsilon, yeah, so Upsilon Circuit is a game show live stream game with permadeath, where like 8 people play at a time, and once you die, you can't ever play again, and you get randomly selected from among the viewers to pop in and play for a bit, and then the viewers can interact with the people who are playing the game currently to either help or hinder them. And that was an interesting idea to me. So I signed up for their little newsletter thing. And I just recently got a message saying that it is now up on Indiegogo, trying to generate a little bit of hype and draw in alpha testers. They're going to be launching alpha testing here sometime soonish. And it also now has a Discord community where they will be announcing live dev streams. So you can get a sampling of what the game is going to look like, you know, once it launches for reals.
Right.
So that's one thing. And that's just like a follow-up just to let you know where that is going.
It's actually a thing now.
Yeah, that's actually a thing that's like in process. So yeah. The other thing is I found out about a neato adventure game that is in the works by a small German developer called Slow Bros, which is awesome.
Like the Pokemon?
It's two words. Mm. Slow Bros, but yeah, that's the first thing I thought of was the Pokemon because of Pokemon Go.
Well, yeah.
But anyway,
please, my mother calls me Slow Bros. To everyone else, I'm Slow Bro.
I prefer Slow Brothers, actually.
Yeah.
You went through that weird phase in high school where you wanted everyone to call them Slow Brothers.
Well, anyway, this game is called Harold Halibut, and the interesting thing about it is that the characters and the world of this game are all physical objects, claymation, miniature sculptures, puppets. And so all the art in this game is all just like actual stuff going back old school to like when they had to make physical sets and things like that. It's planned for PC, Mac, PS4, and Xbox One. It was mentioned in a couple of places in Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and Gadget. So I know you want to know, you're just dying to know, what's the story? Like, what the hell with this weird adventure game? Well, you play as the titular character, Harold, who is exploring the wreckage of a spaceship on an unknown planet covered in water. And he's a janitor, so I don't know if he was like on this spaceship and it crashed, or what the hell happened there, but, or if he just like hung out and was living on a boat, I don't know. But he's a janitor and is a bit bumbling in personality, and he supposedly helps one of the lead scientists who was still aboard the spaceship, trying to see if the craft can be relaunched, I guess, to escape, you know, from this planet. So a quote from the website itself, like from the game's website, is, "Join Harold in his clumsy undertakings to stir up the Ark-like ship's stale day-to-day life and find the secrets that lie behind its doors." So it sounds like a really weird and random adventure game, but the aesthetic of it is really what kind of like drew me in and made me curious about this to see where it goes, because I haven't seen anything like this ever that I can think of offhand. I mean, has there been a stop motion video game like this?
Yeah. Obviously Clay Fighters. I actually don't know if that was that stop motion.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was, but I mean, like it tried to mimic it anyway.
But what's his name? That homophobe, who made, like the Neverhood and the Clayman stuff, like those are games that are, digitized stop motion kind of things. Hmm. Yeah.
Also the Swapper.
Oh yeah, Swapper was also done with miniatures.
I feel like there has to have been a celebrity deathmatch video game as well.
Oh, I'm positive that there has been. Although I don't know that they would have put the care into actually kind of like modeling that frame by frame.
Yeah, the link that I dropped in the Slack for you guys has like a making of video, and it shows like some of their process and some of the characters and some of the settings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty neat. And it even has a few of the in-game shots. So it looks like it's going to be really fun. But this is the Slow Bros first project, so I have no idea how long it's going to take. I mean, I know it's been talked about that they have like a production video and things like that in the works, but you know, so they've obviously got some stuff done, but I don't know how long this kind of a project, especially done in this manner, is going to take for them. They do have a bunch of people on the team though, like they have, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 people working on this game. So I mean, it's not like one guy in a basement somewhere. So
yeah,
so I don't know, I will be keeping an eye out on this, but I would recommend people look up Harold Halibut. If you type that in, it, I swear that will be the first thing that will come up. And you know, because that's just such a random name, but take a look at the art for this, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, Celebrity Deathmatch was a PlayStation 2 era kind of wrestling game that came out for PS2, Xbox, and then also it came out on the original PlayStation as well. You could play as all of the members of NSYNC if you wanted to, and the developer Big Ape Productions does not have a Wikipedia page, but the publisher is known for such titles as Conflict Desert Storm, the Starsky and Hutch video game, and something for PlayStation called Patriotic Pinball.
Oh boy.
Man, that is a breadth of portfolio right there.
Move over from, yeah. Yeah. But no, this looks pretty cool. Like this making a video inspires confidence, and like there's some really cool like photography going on, like in the actual game itself.
Yeah.
And I just love miniatures.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of it too. Like, because I am an active artist, I am obviously very often drawn to the art of a thing. And so, like, just the fact that this looks the way it does immediately stuck out to me, you know, when I was scrolling through stuff trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about today. So I was like, hey, that's a cool looking thing that I think I need to follow up on and see where it goes. Yeah. So
it'll be interesting to see how that is, how that aesthetic is used in service of either the game or the story.
Yeah, and one thing that's interesting is that I was Googling it, and I found that it had previously a Steam Greenlight page, but it was deleted out by the you know, person who made it. So I don't know, like, what if they just, you know, put it in Greenlight and then were like, wait, we still have some more work to do before we release this, or what that was all about. So.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but I will be following up on that and, you know, taking a peek for it every once in a while.
Very neat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've got a quick one. So Suda51 is a developer who the majority of his games I don't like. However, the games of his that I do like are kind of inspired, right? You know, your Killer7. I think there's some parts of Flower, Sun, and Rain that are worth fighting through the other parts, things like that. However, his first game, called The Silver Case, has never been translated officially into English. However, because of Steam and because of just kind of the audience that comes with that, and like the weirdly robust market for strange Japanese adaptations and adventure game kind of things, The Silver Case is actually going to be coming to Steam in English for the first time, and there's a demo available now. And this looks like, man, it looks like Suda51's version of Snatcher, if that makes any sense.
What is Snatcher?
Snatcher was Hideo Kojima's adventure game slash visual novel that was really just like a video game adaptation of Blade Runner.
I was going to say that this is an homage of an homage to Blade Runner.
Yes. Nice. So, yeah, I'm super excited about this. I have not played the demo as of yet, just because I just found out about this. But that's really cool. I think the game comes out like in October or something like that. But even just looking at the screenshots here in the videos, there's lots of salty language and also like some serious like PlayStation era sprite work going on. I'm down.
So you think this will, on the spectrum of Suda51 games, fall on the love side versus the hate side?
You know, it's too early to tell. It looks to be more my shit than something like Killer is Dead is, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just about it. Dennis, what you got?
Yeah, I've got an announcement from Humble Bundle that they are going to do a beta of a partner program that allows streamers to promote their bundles and then get a cut of the profit if people watching the stream follow a certain link and buy the bundle. So it's kind of surprising this hasn't happened already, but it's understandable why Humble Bundle would want to draw a wide line around this, given all the controversy and corruption that seems to go hand in hand with streamer promotion these days.
Yeah, with undisclosed promotion, like undisclosed deals and things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So they've got several measures in place that will help make sure that everything is on the up and up. The first thing is that the streamer's name and the fact that they're supporting will be right at the top of the page when you follow the link. So, you know, if you click this link, you are absolutely going to know that this person was paid to talk about the game and that they're getting a cut of it, yada, yada, yada. The second thing is that they have to have a big logo on their screen that says, "This is paid," that takes up no less than 60% of the screen.
Wait a minute, what?
It's a rule there.
60%?
Yeah, it needs to take up 60% of the screen.
Good.
60% of the screen.
Good God.
It's also...
That can't be right.
It's written into the rules. No, it gets worse. It's written into the rules that every other sentence, they have to say, "I'm being paid to play this, but..." And then they can say whatever they
want. You're kidding.
So, okay. Yeah.
All right. I took it on a save.
No, I have one more. I got one more. Okay, right, I almost kept a straight face all the way through.
All right.
The final one is they need to have tattoo on their shoulder. That shoulder needs to be visible at all times if they're doing video streaming of themselves.
Yeah.
That says of and then Humble Bundle whatever. Yeah. And then they're allowed to move down the arm as they do additional Humble Bundles.
So. Right. But they can't do any cover-ups.
The first one is true. The first one is true that their name will be at top of the site. I imagine that they will get other strong guidance on making it clear that they're supporting it, but good for Humble Bundle for trying something that could work out very well for them and for doing it in the right way.
Yeah. So this is weird, right? Because like, it's not just a straight up affiliate program like we have with Amazon. And when we mention that, like, you know, it's very clear that, you know, that's an affiliate kind of thing. Like, this isn't just a streamer saying, "Hey, if you want to support me, go to Humble and use their store or get that kind of stuff. Here's the code." Like, this is specifically, I am playing games from this particular bundle, and I assume this has something to do with the survival bundle that just launched today as we're recording, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm playing this particular bundle. If you buy this, you can choose to like split some of this to me. You know, I'm gonna dip my snoot into the till. Those seem like very different arrangements.
Yeah, I wasn't clear from reading the article whether or not you could select the percentage of your donation that went to the streamer. Although that would make sense because everything else is completely customizable along right. those lines. So I would imagine it's that, but it... Oh, no, here it is. Let's see here. Yeah. Looks like a default 15% cut.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's built into that, but you can mess with the faders how you would want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean, I don't necessarily see this as a bad thing if it's disclosed. I can mm-hmm. see potential for abuse, but, you know, it's as somebody who is getting into streaming and is, you know, intrigued by ways that audiences can support people who they like, you know, this is another way to do it. Yeah, I think it's a little bit weird that they've got it tied to the, you know, playing the actual game itself, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you're not then, you know, talking about something you have no experience with. There's a logical, you're basically demoing the game,
yeah.
Which gives you a little bit more skin in the game. It's a little higher investment.
Yeah.
As well, and I imagine that makes it a little harder to abuse.
All right.
Hmm. All right, so if you guys were buying a bundle right now, how would you do the split for the four ways between, like, Noble Charity, and then Developers, Humble Bundle, and then Streamer?
I usually do, 40-40-20.
Who's the 20?
Humble.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember the split I've done the last time. The number that came to head was mm-hmm. like a 75 to the charity and then a even division of everything else. I think that's an even number, right?
12 no, and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the closest number to that there, 70 and then 10, 10, 10.
Yeah, so,
yeah something so, like that.
Would this affect your guys the way you guys split it if you were buying a bundle? Would you just not give anything to the streamer then? Or is that even an option? Am I misinterpreting this?
I don't know if there's
a minimum.
Yeah,
you have to follow a link to, you have to follow a specific link. I imagine that's up while the person is streaming
yeah.
to, gotcha. To include them in it. It's not going to show up. You're not going to like on pay some random bundle. Streamer by
yeah.
default.
And like,
gotcha.
If I'm doing that, I'm probably already going to be disposed to want to support this person. So
yeah.
But that is, purely hypothetical at this point.
Then yeah,
you could
awesome.
Also consider whether or not that how much the streamer influenced you. Like if you had never heard of the game before and completely found it because you were watching their stream,
yeah.
great, give them a bigger percentage. Or if yeah. you like, if this was all over your radar and mm-hmm. You just happened to be watching the stream and you decided to take the plunge, you could lower it down.
Yeah. I mean, so here's how corrupt I am. Like I'm in a position where I wish that like Steam had referrals actually. And like, I could just every game that we talk about, we could link on there and say like, hey, if you're interested in this, you know, we get a 3% cut just like with Amazon or something like that. So I guess like this is a good and forward looking thing. I don't know if it's, you know, going to be like a net negative for the charities, I guess would be like the big hazard around this as well. Like, okay, we're splitting yeah. it more ways. Like, will the pie just get bigger or will it stay the same size and, you know, be split the same number of ways?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that most people will make the charity the last thing that they would out from though. So I think the developer and Humble honestly probably have a lot more to worry about it. And since mm-hmm. Humble is instigating it and, you know, developers are happy to be
yeah.
making that extra money.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good setup.
And yeah, the streamer's just being used for marketing.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious, Cole, like, do you think Even in the tiniest, littlest bit that like some kind of referral program, like you mentioned, would encourage you to choose different games than you might already. Like, hey, here's we're going to do this mainstream game that everyone has probably already bought at some point and has a copy of versus a little bit more obscure game that people might go fishing for. Do you think that would sway you at all?
Are you as like somebody who would be covering a game or talking about them?
Yeah. Theoretically, if you got that 3% referral bonus.
Not really, no. I mean, because I still have to play the game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are other ways to do it, and, like, I'm pretty sure that this is only going to be, like, operating and making a big difference for people who are already getting enough revenue from someplace else. So this is just going to be, like, a nice little sousson of gravy, you know, on top of what they're already getting. I don't know. But then again, I don't just do general streaming. I have a very like specific bent, you know, for mm-hmm. the way that I do it. And because I lack imagination and I'm incredibly selfish, I cannot put myself in the shoes of somebody else.
Brutally honest as well.
Huh. Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know. Ben, how about you round us out with some Rocket League?
Yeah, so Rocket League had a tournament yesterday. I tried looking it up, but I couldn't find it. So maybe it's online somewhere, probably is. I just couldn't find it because my Google Foo was bad. But they made an announcement at the tournament yesterday. They're coming out with a game in September called Rocket League Rumble. It's going to be a free game, so it's going to be similar to like what they have with like Hoops or like Rocket Labs. It's specifically like off-the-wall types of rules that you can have, and they have 11 different power-ups that they announced that kind of change the state of the game. So it's basically supposed to be just like a fun mode for Rocket League. So it looks super interesting. So some of the items include like a boot, which just kicks nearby players and just sends them in the other direction. There's a tornado, which will pick up the ball and other players in the vicinity and take them to wherever you drive. There's a magnet, which brings the ball closer to you. There's a plunger and a rope, which shoots towards the ball, and then you can drag it whichever way you want. So you need to like drive into and through the goal for it to follow you through. Hmm. So
oh man,
basically, it looks really interesting. I don't know if it will be more fun than the regular vanilla Rocket League, but it looks super interesting, so I'm excited about it.
So by separating this off, are they kind of like trying to protect the status of vanilla Rocket League as no items, final destination?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Because there's ranked and unranked matches, and so typically more people, I think, play the ranked matches because you won't have people quitting out of the match, and it's more like serious and committed. This is going to be an unranked like match, which I don't think it'll be a huge problem, because if people are playing this game, I don't think they're looking for, you know, a serious intense game. So
yeah.
By the way, Ben, championship I typed Rocket League tournament. It's RocketLeagueEsports.com.
So I looked around.
And it had all of.
It has
the link to watch it. It has the schedule and the timeline, and the live finals were on the 6th and the 7th. So, anyway, like that was the thing. Belatedly, you can take a look at it and such. I'm sure it's probably archived on the Twitch.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to dwell on this.
I like these power-ups because there are enough of them, like the boot and the haymaker, that just kind of imply that as you gather power-ups, your car just turns into a dude.
So, yeah,
started out as Rocket League, and now it's just Person League.
Rocket
dudes. And then it turns into FIFA.
I'm not sure how it's going to work as far as like if you need to pick your upgrade ahead of time or if they're going to have like static positions on the field and you have to like drive around and get those. But yeah, looks interesting.
Yeah.
I'd want to see power-ups that don't affect the car, but affect the field of play. Like, could you get a power-up that like narrows your goal for a certain period of time? Or maybe like the entire field is slightly slanted towards the opposition's goal.
Yeah.
And they could be like maybe harder to collect or at a very specific point on the map that you kind of had to balance chasing the ball versus, you know, chasing the power up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if when you touch the square, the floor becomes lava?
Yeah.
I'm serious. It sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not.
No, that sounds great. Ramps, you have to be going Spider-Man fast enough over them to. Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man, well, I mean, I wonder.
Still my heart.
Grappling sounds
hook?
Like a platform. Yeah. It sounds like they're entirely setting up this game to experiment. So I'd be very surprised if they didn't branch into some kind of arena effects anyway. They did a mode I thought I saw a while back where they like split the field into three discrete channels that you could run the ball down. Am I remembering that right?
They one of the modes is Rocket Labs, and they have like different maps that you can play there. So I mean, so there's a couple different ones. There's like a donut shaped one, and there's one where you can only hit the goal in from the sides. You can't hit it in the middle. Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds very fun. Cool. Yeah, I mean, this would be the one I would want to play. So I don't know.
Fun mood.
Maybe I'm a casual. I want the Mario Kart of this fantastical truck soccer.
Yeah.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what was it? You?
Yes.
Okay. what is the question that you ask the nice people?
I should make fun of you. That is totally ambiguous nowadays with both me and Jala posting. So. Yeah. I feel like I should read this all as a question. I think that is the most inquisitively my name has ever been said. I'm impressed. We are recording this on the date that No Man's Sky comes out for PS4. And if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it's the day that No Man's Sky comes out for PC. So we are just swimming in bad planet names right now. which led me to ask, what naming conventions do you usually follow when playing games? And if you intend to play No Man's Sky, do you have any sweet names lined up for planets or species?
And I'm going to get us started here with, let's take a look at Evan, who says, I have a hard time coming up with good names in games, so I default to my cats. Going to be a lot of planets named after variations on Leo and Crush.
Yeah, Leo and Crush. Leo.
Names. Yeah.
Well, Leo has a pancake face. He's Mr. Pancake Face. I painted his cats. He commissioned me to paint his cats at the end of last year. Oh, cool. So I saw a lot of his cats. I'm just imagining that, you know, if I were to ever visit a planet that Evan named, that it would be like, oh no, I can just envision the cat face just every, like looming over
every last, you know, superimposed. Whisker.
Well, yeah, how tangential are you gonna have to get, because like at a certain point you run out of like just variations on the name, so I think you have to go into specific features. So you might have like Planet Pancake Face.
Yes, exactly. There has to be a pancake. Evan, make a pancake face happen.
That's really weird. We were playing a drinking game over the weekend. I was at a party, and it was King's Cup, and one of the nicknames in the nickname rule. One of them was Pancake Face. So that's super bizarre. I'm having deja vu here, because that is a very strange turn of phrase that I've never heard before.
And then you're gonna walk outside and just be a homeless guy holding a sign that says Pancake Face.
Yeah, exactly. It's out of nowhere. You start seeing it everywhere because it is brought to the forefront of your consciousness.
I bought these glasses from Rowdy Roddy Piper before he died. Let's see here. Jala, what does Sam say?
Sam says, if I can't think of a name, then Beavis. Stuff in No Man's Sky will probably just be podcast memes and or bodily functions.
I wonder what a podcast meme is. Yeah.
Well, now I want to know what a podcast meme is. Is a podcast meme.
Oh, shit.
I'll be sure to name a planet Sugarbone for you guys.
Yeah, right?
Sugarbone deserves at least a nebula.
No, don't. Sam is going to already take it.
Ah, shit.
Oh, right?
Huh.
You get swooped.
That'd be very bizarre if I encountered that in that game.
there is a one in 18 quintillionth chance that you will. So
yeah, so you're saying there's a chance. Ben, what does Steven say?
Steven says, in a game that lets me name my character, the first playthrough is always rolling because cycles. Yes. And for the planets in No Man's Sky, we'll start with Dark Souls NPC names.
So I wonder, do the names have to be unique? Does anybody on this show actually know this?
I don't know.
Yeah. I do not.
I was talking about this on the Slack channel. Like, at some point it can't be. One, you can duplicate between PS4 and PC because they're on different servers. But literally just at some point you are going to run out of letter combinations, because you've got, I don't know what the character limit for names is, but you've got 18 quintillion planets with, you know, however many plants and animals per planet. Mm-hmm. Just like the rule of combinations, permutations, whatever, means that you're going to run out.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I think there has to be duplication.
Yeah. And I think at that point you get like Crush Elon or Smash. What is it? Yeah. Crush Elon 7, you know, like it just starts appending numbers. That would be the way that I would handle that. But
yeah, as long as there's not a character limit, then you're fine.
Yeah. but then effectively, like, just to store all of those names just as a you know, just as strings in a database, like, mm-hmm. when does that become untenable? So the number of potential planets times probably like an effectively limitless, like, even if they go 64, like 64 bit, like, that has to be like impossible to store, right?
Can you imagine character is a byte, so a list of characters, I don't know, 100 bytes max, I don't know.
I don't know, and see, that's the thing.
Can you guys imagine the frustration of trying to name a planet and it has to be unique after this game has been out for a couple months?
Yeah, I know.
Like, it would be impossible.
Yeah, it would lead to a bunch of like just stupid horse shit.
That's already taken.
yep.
See, this is the thing, like, I know very little about this game. I think that's, you know, for the, like, par for the course, not par for the course, that's intentional from the developer. But like, I had somebody on Twitter, like, I maybe like riding my ass saying like pre-release No Man's Sky talk is like pre-release Dark Souls 3 talk. Nobody actually knows what the game is. So it's like, I don't know if it's like we're telling tales out of school, but like, I mean, obviously I had a chance to play it today if I would have bought it, but like, still, I don't know. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Phil say?
Yeah, Phil says, after I use my standard nicknames, which you got to say what those are. He doesn't say what those are. I want to know what the standard nicknames are. after I use my standard nicknames, I start going with smartass stuff. For instance, if I have a bow wielder, I'll use slow draw. As far as planets in No Man's Sky, I plan on doing themes. The first one theme I have lined up is naming after pro wrestlers.
Hmm.
Guys, I have such a blind spot for pro wrestling. I think I could name like John Cena and Undertaker. And then I start to stretch. Like, it gets tough after that.
I would
Supper Slam.
So I would take it one step further and not just make it pro wrestlers, but the way pro wrestlers died. Because it's always a pro wrestler doesn't just die. Something horrible happens, which is sad. I don't know. I didn't say it was a joke.
You're like, welcome to 18 car pileup.
Welcome to heart attack running into a tree. Oh, no. let's see here. I'm going to pull one from an email here, which is Mai, who says, I like the idea that came up in chat of Slack chat, rather, of making interesting name backwards, like Sadion or Tustanadeslep, which are Noidays. I don't understand.
No ideas.
No ideas.
It's so great. No ideas.
Okay. And, and please don't shoot. There we go. Oh, Nevaeh. What I really do when I play games is nerdier than that. I come up with a background biography, imagining what kind of culture she comes from, and what is she doing here. How would she name this plant, animal, or planet? I think No Man's Sky. I'll be a lost, stranded traveler using the Iceland/Greenland concept of naming planets the opposite of what they are. Maybe I will do it in the Rogaden language. I assume that has something to do with Iceland and Greenland. I'm sorry. I apologize for my ignorance.
I wish I knew enough about languages to do this stuff.
I mean, it's not like I have the sum of all human knowledge at my fingertips, but I like the idea of having having like a heuristic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Rogaden is a thing from Final Fantasy 11. Or no, 14. Sorry, people.
Yes. She does a lot of the online Final Fantasies.
Nice. Yeah, I said the wrong one, and then people like lit their torches.
Put him down. Put him down.
Yep.
Just sticks into a bucket. Oh man.
Yeah, but just having like, it's like I think the simpler the rule, the better. When it comes to those, that way you have your fingerprint on it. You know, it scans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Jala. What does Michael say?
Michael says, "When I was younger, I wrote a terrible high fantasy book. I usually name my game characters after some of the characters from that story. I sometimes even build the game characters around their powers from the book."
Nice. Yeah. I mean, at least you're not like running in and they're like, "I'm Drizzt." Yeah.
001, 0001, or 00001.
It's Drizzt backward, which is absurd.
Aw. Doesn't work with everything.
No. Let's see here. That was me, right? No, it wasn't. That was you, Jala.
That was me.
Yeah. Sorry. I lost track. I always start, I've got at this point hundreds of these index cards where it's like, okay, I decide the order that we're gonna read them in, and I write down a list of the names, and then I put a check mark, and then it always peters out after like one or two columns. So forgive me. Ben, what does Derek say?
Derek says, "I take naming seriously and always try to find something that feels in universe with everything else. Sometimes even restarting a game if my chosen name feels out of place. As of today, I have no plans to play No Man's Sky, but if the day comes where I'm naming planets, I would probably use the names from important scientists, authors, and their works, and characters from myth. I can see myself using playful puns because the game seems fairly warm and lighthearted. The Atticus Finch is found on the planet Harperly."
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I will say this though, like that element of like naming creatures, that is more intriguing to me than naming planets. Like I want to, you know, I'm tempted to get this game just because it's in the zeitgeist and it feels like something that is worth playing and talking about. But I would just, I would totally just be a naturalist, like going around and trying to find and name as many unique creatures as I could.
It's like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah.
Way more than 150.
It's Pokemon Spore.
Yeah. Derek, this game, you might want to draw a wide circle around because it sounds like the worst possible way to nerd snipe yourself. just having this constantly having to name new things and doing all this like research and thought to every name.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you care too much. I'm sorry.
It's all relative.
Yeah,
it's like one of those things. Everyone who goes faster than you on the highway is speeding, and everyone who goes slower is unsafely going. So I don't.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's Dennis. What does Kilo say?
Kilo says, "For naming characters, I try to imply a story. Like my orc berserker in Skyrim was Savra the Tigress, and my Dark Souls 3 main was Sunless Mira." Those are cool. For something like No Man's Sky planets, I'll keep the names mysterious, like Charon's Eye?
Charon.
Charon's Eye, there we go. Or Incatimus Alpha.
Yeah. Charon after the ferryman over the River Styx, and Incatimus from I Don't Know.
from Mysterious.
Really? from Parts Unknown. Yeah. Huh. Pick up here with Roop, who says, "I always try to come up with pseudo-Nordic fantasy names. A good example is A.N. Ordeon. Sounds mystic and all, but is just kinda gibberish." Yeah, I mean, so that kind of gets into one of mine, like in my weaker moments when I kind of just don't care if there's a random name generator kind of thing, I will just hit that until I see like a couple of different sounds that sound cool, and then I will mix and match them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is as lazy as can be, but like, you know, they're just using that as inspiration, right?
Yeah, well, you're still putting a personal touch on it, so you can't be that lazy.
I like these sounds. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do as a parent, right? You're like, yeah, I like these sounds. Generally, you try to make them sounds that people have heard before in association with names, but there's not a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, and as long as it rhymes with Aiden, you're fine. Jalo, what does Eric say?
Eric says, when naming Dark Souls characters, I tend to stick to the theme of the build, i.e. Ash for a pyromancer, Spark for a lightning build, Sliver for a dagger build, etc. I'll usually go with my own name for my very first run in a new Souls game, though. Call me boring, I suppose.
I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
It was fan club.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I will also use my own name. Even in an online game, I don't care.
So this gets into a weird split that I have, and I guess I'll just do mine because it relates. If it is a futuristic or sci-fi game, I'll use my own name. If it is like a high fantasy or in the past game, I will use like a standard set of made up names.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why that split is. Maybe I like projecting myself forward rather than backwards.
Yes,
more.
As though the name Dennis never existed before you were born.
Yeah.
which is why the prophecy that foresaw your birth called you Dennis, the one and only.
Yes. Yeah. But the one is, someone mentioned the you know, writing a story as a kid. So I've gone with Shogris, and I've mentioned that before many a time in the high fantasy side, because it was a random word that I made up as part of a Jack and Dexter fanfic.
Sorry.
I know.
No, it's fine. I've done things that are more embarrassing than that. I just still think it's funny.
I dug it out a couple of years ago, and I stand by it. There was a nugget of good stuff there.
I'm sure.
The problem is that I still remember exactly where I was going with the arc, and had I written more, I know like exactly what the story would be. Like, it's weird, the stuff that's in your mind.
Mm-hmm. And just like where that may possibly pop up, because, you know, just creativity is a weird thing. Sometimes, like, you know, an idea just lays dormant because, like, you know, you didn't make it up. You just found it, right?
Yep. Huh.
It has to go somewhere.
Yeah, that story arc, and then the Star Wars parody lyrics to Smash Mouth's All Star that I wrote in eighth grade as well.
Oh.
Are the two. Oh,
were you listening to a lot of Weird Al at that time?
Oh, probably.
Ooh, can you give me a choice a choice slice off of that sweet sweet roast?
Jedi once met me, and with them was a lady. She dumbfounded me from the start.
Oh, it's based on that. It's based on episode one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I met this hot dame. Padme was her name. And within seconds, she had stolen my heart.
Oh, no, please. I know that the hits start coming and they don't stop coming. I desperately wish they wouldn't keep coming. Sorry, I'm just giving you the business.
I deserve every single ounce of it.
I've done the same thing. Not like that exact same thing. I've done the same thing. I'm not going to volunteer it. That's your mistake.
But you have to live with that.
I do. That's out there. It's out there.
This is on your fanfiction.net account.
Posts. Yeah. Googling your screen name for old forum posts is an interesting game.
Mm. See, that's the thing. I think that at least my obsessive desire to put my own personal brand out there as to saturate my namespace so that it is only the most recent. Like, every new thing that I do compulsively is just an effort to bury something terrible. Ben, what does Greg say?
Greg says, what was the question? Wait. What is your favorite Smash Mouth cover? Greg says, I'm pretty bland when it comes to names. I admit, whenever possible for character names, I always use my own. There's a couple exceptions. If the game requires a call sign like Wing Commander, I'll use Striker. I leave default names in for party members unless I have to name them myself, in which case I use friends' names. In Bethesda games, I even make the guy look like me. Boring, I know, but I like to inject myself into games as much as possible to enhance the gaming experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a perfectly valid thing.
Worst crime. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, and I guess all I will say is some of the greatest conquerors in the world just named everything after themselves. So you are following in the footsteps of Alexander the Great, Greg.
The greatest crime, though, is the games where you put in all that effort and then you spend the entirety of the game in first person and never see your work.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Fallout.
See also Metal Gear Solid 5. Let's see here. Dennis, what does David say?
David says, because I'm so fucking original, most of my names are just spoofs off my default handle, Threnza. A warrior would be Threngar, a warlock Threnzulu, a town Threntopia, etc. I thought up a unique name once, and I'm not doing it again.
Yep.
name, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, some people work hard. Other people work smart. David only works once.
Once and never again.
Yep. He rolled a charisma-based character, like a real talky kind of guy in Fallout. You know what he named him? Frenza. Yes.
I should have seen that right off the bat, and I didn't.
Oh yeah,
now I'm kind of ashamed of myself.
Just by the tone of voice, Jell, I'm surprised you didn't. Did you mute for the facepalm? Hurt me more, yes. Please. I deserve
yes,
worse.
Yes,
than
I.
This.
I did in fact mute.
Let's see here. Ollie writes, I use a simple naming scheme. If it's a game based on the real world, and that's in quotes, I use my own name. If it's set in a fantasy world, I use characters from the Wheel of Time. For planets, I use place names from the same series. I'm an uber fan of the series. It's my secret nerd shame.
It's not really all that secret. You just had it announced on the podcast, man.
Right.
That is not Discworld. What is that series?
No, Wheel of Time. That was not Jordan Morris. That's one of the guys from Max Fun. yes, yeah, something Jordan. Robert Jordan, maybe. It's another one of those like really, really big kind of fantasy kind of series. I would forgive you for saying like, oh yeah, that's like Discworld, because a wheel is also a kind of a disc.
Yeah. And Ka is a wheel, so maybe it's Dark Tower. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a thing. You never know. Yeah. Jello, what does Graham say?
Graham says, when I'm naming characters or things in video games, I try to keep the name fitting for the world the game takes place in. For example, when I play a game with a European fantasy setting, I usually pick something that sounds or is European. And I definitely try to avoid naming a person a gamer tag. Mm-hmm. You can't just take a hero seriously when their name is RockSolidRump_31.
But what if they're
you can't
the
take 30... a person seriously?
Yeah. What if they are 31st in the line of a very shapely clan of warriors? You know. Come on.
My hips don't lie. My father's hips don't lie. His father's hips didn't lie.
My hips are my bond. Ben, what does Tim say?
Tim says, usually stock names, but lately I've been mixing it up on Pokemon and offline games where there isn't a story I really care about. In those games, I've been putting wildly inappropriate names to make myself laugh like an idiot hours later. I figure nobody else is going to see this but me, so if I want to name a character an immature pee-pee joke to make my inner 5-year-old die of laughter, then that's my right as an adult. America! Also, no intention of buying No Man's Sky.
Oh, okay. Which just brings to mind, what kind of filter is there on names? I don't know.
The Sean Smith said that he was going to have a contest to see whether PC players or PS4 players used more immature names.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that means they'll definitely be counting them. I don't know if that means that they'll be blocking them.
Mm. I don't know, but that implies that they would have a way to recognize them, which also implies that they would have the ability to shut them off at any time if they wanted.
Oh, no, they want to require them.
Mm, okay. Hey, welcome to my planet. It's called the World of Shit.
They're embracing it.
Yeah. And then finally, Dennis, what does Jason say?
Jason says, I'm sure that I would seriously benefit from having a good system for naming characters in games. After spending time in character creation, I often get stopped in my tracks when I realize that, oh, I need to come up with a name now. Usually it will come down to what I've been reading. I named my first Dark Souls 3 character, Reyna, after a character from the Percy Jackson series I had just finished up.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot
stuff
of people,
that's top of mind.
Yeah, a lot of people are pulling from literature.
Hmm. Not yeah. me,
well, I like
damn
the
it.
Idea of... I like the
especially
idea of pulling from what you're reading at the
rock.
Time, because it puts a little timestamp on what you've were doing when you started the game.
Oh, yeah. Like my one EverQuest character that was that I named because it was because I was inspired by the name Raiden from Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the end of those. Let's go through ours quickly. I really don't have one. My usual heuristic wouldn't work for No Man's Sky because when I was naming alts in MMOs, I would often just kind of like look at a star chart and either pull names of either constellations or nearby stars or just kind of like different celestial bodies. And that doesn't work when you're naming celestial bodies because, like, you know, those are real ass things. But yeah, I don't know what I would do with No Man's Sky. I would probably just do something based on the network, probably. You know, just sure. go around naming planets after Michael Crick's relatives and such. Yeah. Jala, how about you? You interjected there.
I did because like everybody's like picking, okay, I have a method by which I do these things. I really don't like, it's kind of like the approach that I take when I'm writing something, you know, like writing a story or if I'm making art, like, I will just look, basically in this particular case, I would look at the planet or the creature or the whatever, and then just not have like words in my head, if that makes any sense. Just look at it, and then just whatever bubbles up to the surface of my brain is what it gets called, you know, and it's usually just like a thing I make up, but, you know, more than like a descriptor or anything like that. So, you know, like it's just, Jala is a random name generator. And so I will just randomly generate my own names for things. Yeah. I also have a tendency of making up my own words and my own slang words. So like the longer that you hang out with me in person, usually the more you'll hear like words that I just create that mean specific things, but they're Jala words.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, so like I do that very regularly. So
yeah, they're the Niala Jalaisms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just rolls off the tongue.
Well, also I want to play No Man's Sky, but I'm not going to be like paying $60 for it right now because I don't have a lot of time right now, and I know I would get sucked in, and then I would be like not sleeping, and then I would have injuries, and that would be bad.
Yeah,
you know, running and stuff at 3 o'clock in the morning, not good with no sleep.
Not at all.
So,
let's see here, Ben, what you got?
I don't think people should have the power to name planets. So I think there should just be like inputs like angry or like whatever. Just do like weird like emotional things and then just have it generate a name based off of that or something like that. If you wanted to do user input.
That seems like that seems like a very firm stance. Taking a hard line. Why do you not want people to name their own?
I think it takes away from the atmosphere of the game. Like, you're just going to get a bunch of, like, Harambe references or things like that. So.
I would so go to Planet Harambe.
One, two, three, four, five, or six.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, for me, that's, like, those are elements that would take me out of the game versus, you know, immersing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. And, Dennis, you kind of gave yours there a little bit.
Yeah, so naming for characters forward looking is my own name, and then backwards looking is, you know, stuff I invented a long time ago. I think for planets, I kind of like, there's just this impulse in me that I want to have something in common between all of them, just to identify, like, if anyone ever does pick up my trail or find my stuff, I want to be able to be like, you know, I was here, these are all mine, you know, named these, at least planet wise. I don't think I would go that far on species, but I was thinking about just putting Furia at the end of whatever name, because it I'm fortunate to have one that works pretty well for that. So, like, Omnicrom Furia, or you know, Yadris Furia, or whatever. It just feels kind of spacey. So
it feels like a somewhat kind of like Latin suffix, you know, or just kind of like basically every planet you're going to is angry.
Yeah. Because I think in some form it literally is. So, you know. Yeah. it works pretty well.
Neat. Yeah, so thank you everybody for writing in. We really appreciate you participating. If you would like to see and add to any future multiplayers, those go up at facebook.com/thelevelpodcast on Tuesday afternoons or early evenings. And that is thanks to Ben, Jala, and also the fine people who submit questions for us to ask everybody. How can people get questions to you guys if they want to have one featured on multiplayer?
Didn't you mean Dennis?
Go ahead.
Did I say Ben instead of Dennis?
You did. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Dennis. Sorry.
I do nothing for the multiplayer, just to be clear.
Yeah. But Dennis or Jelly, how can people, if they have questions they want to suggest, how can they get that in there?
They can message the Level Facebook, or they can message either one of us directly, mention it in Slack, etc. Those are some good places to go.
Okay.
Dennis, you got more?
I'm horrible about archiving them. So if there's one that you suggested a couple of weeks ago and it hasn't made its way onto the show, just tap my shoulder, suggest again. I love everyone that I've seen. I just forget.
Dennis, if you like, I can start an Evernote.
I would appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You tell me the things and I will put them in an Evernote, and then I will give you a link to the Evernote, and then that will be the end of it.
Done.
All right.
Done. Problem solved.
Yeah.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we've been playing over the past week or so, and sometimes forgetting how to talk. I'm gonna get mine out of the way and played shit. I've been reading. I am the last person on Earth to watch Stranger Things, but two episodes in, it is fantastic.
Yay!
Yeah,
nice.
There we go. And since we are all here last,
talk later.
And since everybody was here last week, or at least everybody who's here was here last week, there's nobody I can defer to first. So, are there any volunteers?
I'll go first because I might pass out at any time. Okay, so stuff that I've been doing. Okay, like I streamed one more chapter of Resident Evil 6 with Sam. Continues to be fun. Sam is really enjoying it, which is awesome. I played a smidge of VLR, but not enough to even get to another bad ending, which is what I would get to, I'm very sure. Nothing really to say about that. Okay. And then the other thing I've been playing is that I rebought Capcom versus SNK2 on PS2. I originally had it on Dreamcast. It's been over a decade since the last time I played. I finally broke down and bought it again for PS2 and have been playing the shit out of that. So that's fun. I'm surprised both with how much I remember as well as how horribly I play now compared to how well I used to play before. I played through co-op style with a friend who came down like from out of town for an obstacle course race I did over the weekend. And so like we just co-op played the way that I had described on previous episodes, which basically you can have up to three characters on your team and you can allocate a point ratio of 4 points total. And you can, you know, make one character 2 points and then the others 1 point each, or you can have 1 4-point character or whatever. It's a combination of your choosing. So basically I, you know, I was just like, here, you pick a couple of characters and I'll pick a character and then we'll just go through and play the game and, you know, fight against the AI and tap out and switch out who plays first. So, things that I really love about this game, though, the reason why this is like my favorite fighting game, because I know I've talked about it a lot off and on, is again the free ratio system, which allows flexibility because you can choose any combination of characters, Capcom characters or SNK characters that are available in this game. There's a wide number of characters in the game. And, you know, you can assign varying points, which basically the higher the point value, obviously, the higher damage you deal, and then also the less damage you take. So there's a groove select, and there are six different grooves, which basically affect your super bar and how your special moves go. There is like a parry groove, a rage meter type groove. You know, there's the standard three bar Capcom, you know, super bar with levels on it, that kind of thing. But there's like a bunch of different ways that you can use, you know, execute all of your moves, and, you know, how you play and how the computer plays, like if you're playing against the computer or against a live opponent, it really changes things up depending upon what groove, you know, either side is picking. Like certain ones are a lot more difficult when you really know how to use them. Like they can get very challenging to fight against. So one thing about it is that unlike Marvel versus Capcom, you can't switch characters mid-fight. It's more like King of Fighters because, you know, you can you have three characters or however many characters. And, you know, like once one character dies, then you can, you know, move on to the next character. The AI also scales depending upon how you play. So I remember having a lot of fun co-oping against the AI. So the AI, you know, like if you are playing really badly, the AI dumbs itself down, basically. And, you know, if you're playing really well, then the AI becomes more challenging, which is how it should be. But a lot of fighting games have, you know, crap AI. So, you know, this one seemed pretty decent. Like I remember having a lot of fun co-oping against the AI, you know, all the way through, like the entirety of the time I played this game. And I did play against live people too, but more often than not, I had a lot more fun just co-oping. So,
yeah, this, I mean, for a fighting game of this vintage, it sounds like it has an awful lot of like, not just ease of use, but kind of quality of life, concessions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It basically what it does is like what the reason why it's so fun for me is because, you know, Capcom and SNK both created a bunch of different fighting games, which were popular, you know, with varying circles of people and played a little bit differently. This game kind of mashes the, you know, differences between them into one game. So you can, you know, like it's flexible in ways that a Capcom game wouldn't be or an SNK game wouldn't be. Like you'd have to go to another, you know, fighting game company to, you know, get new, I guess, new modes to play in. I don't know how to say that. But yeah, I like it because even to this day, like my games that I like to play the most fighting game wise is Street Fighter and King of Fighters. And that's Capcom and SNK. So,
yeah,
you know, this is right up my alley insofar as like, you know, that, and this is an old ass game too. This is what, 15 years old now?
Yeah. I mean, like
it's an old ass game.
It had its re-release on like on PS2, but like that's just about it.
Oh, I know, but it was on Dreamcast.
That makes me wonder.
So,
Cole, have you guys ever done a fighting game for WoW? I know there's not a ton of like story to talk about there, but
Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Well, yeah, we did Mike Tyson Punch Out, but we also did.
Yeah,
we did Street Fighter. Yeah.
Okay, very cool. So only on big occasions.
Yeah. It's just it's one of those things like where, you know, you kind of have to have other people there. Like if we just did, you know, one of those where we were just playing by ourselves, like that's not really a thing you can do. Mm-hmm. at least sure, not meaningfully, you know.
Yeah.
So it has to have a participation kind of thing. So that's weird. Like this was just recently re-released, Jala?
No. I was talking about it and I'm like, why don't I own this game again? I should own this game again. Why don't I have it? And that's because at first, the only version I could find on PS2 was the Capcom vs. SNK2 Easy Operation, which is like a simplified version, to my understanding. Like, they changed some of the mechanics, and I was very opposed to that idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I refused to get that. And then, like, I had a belief for a long time that that was, like, the only way it was released on PS2. And then, like, when I'm talking about it more recently on the level, you know, I was like, oh, let me go look it up again. Is it really? Is that really the only way? Hey, no, it's not. Cool. Buying it. Nice. The end. So.
Yeah. A little bit of a blast from the past.
Yeah. So I've been retro gaming it.
Nice.
In the spirit of the convention I went to at the end of last month.
In the spirit of the convention we all went to, but that would be insensitive. Dennis.
Oh,
you're good. You're good. I was there in spirit.
Oh, yes, you were. Anything else, Jala?
No, that was it. I mean, I played a little bit of Puzzle Juice, but again, there's really, like, nothing to say about anything else.
Yeah.
I didn't really play a whole hell of a lot because, as I predicted, my work has been insano. I predicted that before I went to the convention. I am still trying to be on cleanup detail to clean up all the mess at my work.
Oh, no.
So things are real rough and I'm really tired. I am not playing games very much. So I did play the shit out of Capcom vs. SNK2, though. I did put a lot of time into that, but nice. That's like, you know, like muscle memory on that, you know.
So. At that point, even though it's a very confrontational and technical game, it is comforting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll speak for everybody here. Jala, I know that you have to be out early in the morning. Do you want to take a leave, or are you fine sticking around for the rest of the episode? I'll give you this out.
I'm tired. I still have to go take a shower and stuff, so I'm going to head out.
Yeah. It's just a scheduling anomaly.
Bye, Jala.
Yeah. Thank you, Jala. Where can people find you if they want to find you?
Well, I am Jala-chan in places if I'm not Neon Skies Studio, because I also do the artses. So you can find my art stuff in places. I just finished up a really big commission that was like, it burned me out, and then I had to have a break. Mm-hmm. I am now back into doing like sketching. Nice. I'm doing sketching again. Like, it's been a while because I was burned out. So that's a thing. So anyway, Neon Skies Studio will have more random crap popping up in feeds and stuff here soonish. So
fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the thing.
Well,
I'm going
care.
To sleep now.
Sleep
Thanks,
well.
Guys.
Thank you. And with that, Jala is gone. You heard her leave, I guess. I don't know. There was an edit point. I'm not going to lie. I'll give you a peek behind the curtain.
There's a lot of elaborate Foley work on the actual episode, I'm sure.
Oh, man. So between you two, Ben and Dennis, who wants to go first?
I got 3/4 games.
Okay.
Well, I've got, I think, 3 as well.
Okay, wow. Yeah, let's
flip a coin,
get to
Cole.
It then. No, Ben, you spoke up first, so go.
All right. I have 2 short ones, a medium one, and another one. So I picked up 2 different puzzle games on Steam. Both of them were $1 each. One is called Clocky, Klocki, and the other one is called Hook. They were both pretty cool. They were both pretty short. But they were both pretty satisfying.
When you say a puzzle game, like what are you referring to?
Okay, so there are 2 different types of puzzles. One looks like the style of it is like a kind of like a industrial engineer's sort of like exploded diagram, maybe. Mm. Does that make sense? Where it's like kind of like a both of them are at like a kind of a hexagon. I want to say hexadecimal, but that's not the right word. What's the term when you're looking at like not a 90-degree angle, but like a
isometric? Like,
yes, both of them have an isometric view.
There you go.
Thank you.
It could also be an oblate perspective or oblate. I don't know. Shit.
Oblique perspective.
I used to know the word. Yeah, oblique is also one of them. Yeah, or orthometric, I think, is the other one, but people just call them isometric.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
I'm going to go with isometric.
Yeah, go for it.
So, the way Hook works is it's basically like almost like patchwork of different things overlapping one another. You click on different points to reel those things in. However, if any of those things bump into another part, then you've fail that level and you have to restart. Oh. So like, for example, it might have like a hook shape thing and it might have like a straight line thing that goes kind of inside the hook thing. So you have to pull in the straight line thing before you can pull in the hook thing. I don't know if that makes sense verbally. It's much easier to see if you watch something visually, but and it just gets more complex from there. And it has certain things where, so you basically have to prioritize and look at what things can be removed and how you can remove them. It's just a simple puzzle game. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Hours worth of gameplay for a dollar. So I think that's kind of worthwhile.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad.
Huh. What about Clocky? Like, what is that?
That one's, I think, a little bit better. I like that one more. It basically has a lot of different orthogonal puzzles. So, like, puzzles that are independent of one another but could be combined together to do interesting things. But it's similar to, like, The Witness. It's all, like, pathfinding puzzles. Yeah. So you'll have, like, segments of a line, and you'll have to either switch pieces or rotate pieces in order for it to form a path. And, again, it's an isometric view, so you might have, like, two different cubes side by side. And you'll be able to switch pieces across the cubes, and the path might roll around like a single cube, if that makes sense. But it has like maybe four or five different puzzle types, and then it starts integrating them really well. But sadly, it's only an hour long. Like, it starts getting really interesting towards the end, but it ends pretty quickly.
Yeah. It has a real pleasant aesthetic, like this kind of like awesome pastel soft kind of look to it.
Yeah, it's weird how puzzles like that are just like super super pleasing to complete, you know, like turning disorder into order. So it's pretty fun. I don't know, if you like puzzles, I mean, super short, again, you can knock it out really quickly. But the other game that I've been playing that's more noteworthy is I got Duskers. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
It is a console command sort of video game. The premise is civilization might be destroyed, maybe. You are on a ship, you have a couple drones with you, and what you're doing is you're flying like galaxy to galaxy and looking at these abandoned ships or like dying or dead ships, and you send in your drones to explore these ships to try and salvage goods and get fuel and then go to the next place. However, on these ships, there might be some sort of monsters or some sort of like leftover robots that will attack you.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a similar feeling of like Alien Isolation. But the interesting mechanic of this game is it's all operated by console. So you have like a computer console. And so if you want to move a drone from one room to another, you have to say like, transport drone one to room two or whatever and type it in and hit enter, and then it'll move around. Each of the drones have different abilities, so you kind of have to send them to wherever they're best used. So like one of them will have a motion detector that can sense whether or not there's something bad in the room next to it or not. So he's kind of like your scout, and so you can kind of figure out if there's something bad nearby. And then you can operate the doors so you can try and flush out whatever the bad thing is into a different room if you want to search a certain room.
So you have multiple like multiple drones. Can you do stuff like programmatically where like you can, you know, issue like a looped or nested command to something, you know, to one of your drones to do something and then like make something else contingent upon what they find? Like,
so I haven't done this yet, but you can in the advanced controls, you can name certain functions and define certain functions. So you could make your own custom function that says like open door three and then go to room two and then do this action and then do this. Nice. I don't know if they have for loops, and I don't know if they have conditional statements, but you can definitely couple different commands together if you want to.
Oh, nice. So like you basically set up your shortcuts, right? Like, okay, I want to kind of like initiate this subroutine, which is like open door, move two in, and then like, you know, attack.
Yeah. The other interesting wrinkle is one of the drones has an ability where they can interface with the ship. And so they can operate, they can turn on and off turrets that are left over on the ship or the defensive like capabilities. So what you can try and do is you can try and flush like these monsters into certain rooms and then activate the turrets to like get rid of them. And then you can scrap everything in peace. It's kind of an interesting game. It's it feels similar to FTL in terms of like the style of the game. The only difference is it's with this game, like you constantly have to be repairing things, like your drones and their abilities. Mm-hmm. So it's more stress inducing than FTL is, which yeah. that might somewhat surprise.
I mean, that's saying something.
Yeah,
I think FTL is a very stressful game.
I think FTL is a fun game.
Oh, but... it is. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun stress, but it's still very stressful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. I don't know. So that's been pretty fun. It's been interesting to play. It's definitely a unique experience playing a game completely by console, even though it has like, you know, solid graphics to it. Not like, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It has a very functional graphics, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You can switch between like a map view and a drone view. And so like the map view is kind of more like, think of like retro, like NES or whatever. But then if you switch to the drone view, it's a more stylized, like kind of up to date graphics, still top down, but oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. I don't know how long I'll play it. I've already played it for like 4 or 5 hours, so I've sunk a little bit of time into it, but I don't know if it has deep hooks or not.
How did this game grab your attention?
I had heard about it a while ago, like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and someone had recommended it to me, and I looked it up, and it had gotten pretty good reviews, so I was interested in it, and so wanted to play a game over the weekend, and so that was top of the list, apparently. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The last game that I have has been installed on my PS4. It is No Man's Sky. I have not played it yet.
Yeah.
I tried to pick it up at lunch today, but all of the Targets nearby are sold out of it because I forgot that kids are on summer break right now.
Yeah.
So, there's competition. So...
I just picture you hip checking a little kid into the perfume rack yeah. on your way to electronics.
Sorry, little guy. I'm on
Ben, let's be honest. You would stand in front of that case of games and hand them to anyone else who looked like they wanted one until the crowd was gone before taking one for yourself.
I mean, I do that with like fortune cookies at a restaurant, but yeah, I may or may not do that with video games. I don't know. I definitely really want to play that game, so I don't know if my altruism would go that far. So since I could not get a physical copy of it, I ended up opting to get it for PSN. So I downloaded it before we started the podcast. And so I just need to install it and then it should be good to go. So I'm very excited to play that.
Yeah, you're going to have stories for next time.
Yep.
Nice.
Sorry, I do not have totally stories stream. For this time. I could. Yeah, and so that's always the thing with like streaming on the PS4 is the concession is that you have a smaller screen size if you do it, and then you have the weird like Twitch thing.
Yeah, you have the like the Chrome around it.
I think you can set it. Yeah, I think you can set it to not show those. I'm not positive of that, but it's worth at least digging around for it. Because I mean, I would happily still watch if it was just your screen and not the comment section or anything like that.
Yeah, I might look up how to do that, but I might also play the first couple hours just on my own. So
that's always good to do. So you're not sure, like, no pressure. Trying to figure out the controls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, yeah, I'm anxious to hear, like, as I've been reading stuff, like the things people are trepidatious about with that game or the things that like might make me excited about it. Like, oh, it has a slower start than you would normally think. Like, oh, please. Like, the idea of an infinite world just kind of, like, doesn't do anything for me. But, like, an infinite world that I discover a little bit at a time is, you know. Yeah, I mean, just, like, if it is more of a survival game, that's, like, more my speed, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I got a text from my cousin who's been playing it since Monday night, since he got the game early. But he said his review of it was... It's only a 30-hour game if you're intentionally trying to make it a 30-hour game the entire time.
That's a little bit like what we said last time, too. Like, it's a, you know, yeah, if you're on a mission, right?
Yeah. Anyway, excited to play that. So.
Yeah. Cool. Keep me updated. Let me know how it is. Because I may or may not try and find room in the budget this month for it.
I'll shoot you some texts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Dennis, round us out here.
Yeah, so I don't think I've got anything too earth-shattering. I realized that amid all the hubbub and my time out, I never shared my side of the Pokemon Go craze. So I thought I'd touch on that.
You were traveling, too, so you had, like, ample opportunity.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great to you know,
play this game on your phone as you're in other cities. But the biggest thing I wanted to touch on is that it is a gen that a game has really gotten into. It is a game that Jen has really gotten into as well. And so like our family, like evening activity, especially since it's nice out, is like just going on walks together. Yeah. And catching Pokemon.
Yeah, you both just
which is really, really incredibly fun.
Yeah, probably like just take the kids for a walk, or is it just you two?
Yeah, no, we push the stroller. we just usually one of us will like play.
I don't know how parent works.
we've covered this. You leave them in their cage and they're fine for at least a day.
Yeah, just I mean with enough water so they don't get spoiled.
That's right.
But not too much that they could drown themselves in.
Right. Continue, Dennis. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Like we'll play music on one of our phones and just like walk and it's a great time. We're both doing, I think Jala has mentioned the duck waddle, so we're doing that same challenge just with a team of college friends. Mm-hmm. That's my great betrayal, as we've mentioned on the show. But so what we're like, we're, you know, spending family time, we're getting exercise and distance towards this challenge and playing Pokemon Go. There's just like so much synergy going on. But it really does add that just little extra oomph to like, well, I'm bored right now. Maybe instead of wandering over to the cabinet and eating, you know, more food, I'll go for a walk. And like, mm-hmm. it's a tiny little nudge, but it's just what you need to get you going.
Yeah.
It should be noted that Jen is on mat leave right now. And like I said, it's nice out. So she basically like can play Pokemon Go all day and all night. And is way higher level than I am and has some insane Pokemon that she's pulled down. It's not a Dragonite. It's like whatever the crystal pterodactyl style Pokemon is.
Pterodactyl?
I'm blanking on the name.
It's Aerodactyl.
Is it Aerodactyl?
Yeah, it's one of the fossil types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, what team are
you
guys?
She's got one of those that's just a beast.
Yeah, Mystic.
So I don't.
Both of you?
Represent Team Mystic. I don't know if anyone has played this with other people at the same time. Like taking a gym, if you jump into a gym at the same time, your multiple Pokemon will fight the others at once. You essentially like double your stopping power. And you can get through gyms that are otherwise way, way overpowered for you just by attacking them at the same time as whoever you're playing with.
Oh, I had no idea.
And that was another system that they don't explain at all. But I was, you know, we were like, well, let's take this gym. And we both booted it at the same time. And I'm like, wait, are you using your Lapras? And she's like, yeah, why? I'm like, I can see it in the background. And like, it actually shows the other Pokemon in the background as you brawl it out. Which is really cool. So that's a lot of fun. And just wanted to add that little dynamic to it, even though I know it's talked out on the show pretty well.
Yeah, and also you're Team Mystic, so your input doesn't matter.
That's true. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, man. You only hate because we're on top. So then I've also played a lot of... Do I need to walk that comment back?
No, that's fine. No, it's just just leave that hanging out there. Don't worry, that's fine. That won't make any progress.
I've also been playing a lot more Destiny, which is great. I've beat the original content of the game, which took way, way less time than I thought, and I can only assume that's because it's been rebalanced to accommodate a 40 level cap versus a 20 level cap. So the earlier missions are just a little bit easier to get through. But I'm getting into now all like the, you know, DLC raids. And it's funny cause it's incredibly MMO-esque, in that they don't worry about continuity or storyline at all. And I would like play the first mission of a series of missions and then party up with someone who was on the last mission and be able to just like jump straight to the last mission and run that dungeon because I was in their fire team, which led to some funny moments of just like, you know, they're setting up this problem. Then I suddenly jump to the end where they've solved it and found a new problem. And, you know, all this plot has happened, what little there is in the game. But it remains a ton of fun to play. I'm starting to get a little more sensibility around carrying different ammunition types. So they've got essentially like fire, ice, and dark,
elemental weapons, but they call it like solar and void and something else that makes no sense, but it's fire, ice, and dark elements. And if you see an enemy with that shield, you should switch to that weapon. And it actually makes a huge, huge difference. And so I've gotten a lot more savvy about carrying the right weapons and then using the right weapons in the right moment, which as I'm getting to these more advanced dungeons, that you can't kind of sleepwalk through it anymore. You've really got to think about it and engage with that kind of puzzle aspect or strategic aspect of the game. So that's a lot of fun. A lot of Duck Feed people are either playing it again or thinking about playing it again, and that's great. So I expect to continue that. And then final game is I have started Dark Souls 2 again.
Oh, shit, yeah. I gave you the... I didn't give you. I gifted unto you via a listener.
Yeah.
A very generous listener. Brian, actually, Dr. Static. Scholar of the First Sin edition, right?
Yeah, Scholar of the First Sin, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Dark Souls, because this is making the rounds of different Duck Feed people. This like, physical copy of the game. I had forgotten just how freaking good Dark Souls feels to play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I beat the Dragon Rider at the end of Hyde's Tower of Flame last night. Mm-hmm. And I was just laughing at the end of it, because, like, that was so much fun. Like, just that boss fight was such a great experience. Like, so yeah. Definitely feeling the love for this game coming back to it.
And especially into it with like the nicer graphics there. And also the juiced frame rate, right?
Nicer graphics, juiced frame rate. And then they've tweaked enemy positions ever so slightly.
There's a troll here. So fuck you.
Yeah. or like there's night guys that don't mess with you if you don't mess with them, except for if you go this one direction, they totally do. Mm-hmm. And now I'm running away from three night guys.
The Hades Knights are in Hades. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thunk? So that, and again, talking about memory earlier in the episode, it's amazing how many of these aspects, like, I had ingrained in me. And I knew exactly when something was out of place, not just that it was out of place, but where it should have been, or just the detail with which this world is ingrained in my mind really mm-hmm. speaks to the design of the game. I'm very much looking forward to playing through it. I've gone through it kind of fast. I'm playing a hex build. I'm trying to stream every time I play it. So far, I've been successful with that.
Dennis, where can people find you streaming?
Twitch.tv/greenlaser73.
Okay.
That's greenlaser with an S, 73.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure we didn't forget.
Oh, no.
But you're making an effort to like to stream it. How has that experience been for you?
It's great. I have more people joining to watch this than any other game I've streamed. And I have more random people just dropping in than any other game I've streamed. Which is cool, and I try to make sure I talk up the network and everything, because what a great way to just like stumble into something awesome if someone's like checking out a random Twitch stream and gets plugged into this group of people.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of fun. This is all a prelude, of course, to Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited for as well.
And you're playing Scholar, even though you've already played Dark Souls 2, because you have actually not played the DLCs. For Dark Souls 2.
I'm
real excited for you to get there, because like I know that you have misgivings about the way about the back leg of Dark Souls 2, mm-hmm. specifically the way it concludes. Like, if you actually do stuff in Scholar the way that kind of like the Scholar is telling you, hey, there's a different way to do it, then like I think that you're gonna really dig it, notwithstanding the fact that like the DLC has some of the best bosses and best areas in the series.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I left off Dark Souls 2 on PS3, I was working my way through all of the dark areas. I forget the official title, but the creepy dude in a wheelchair.
Yeah, Dark Deborah Grendahl. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. So all of his areas. Now I was on the last boss of that and just hadn't been able to beat it. I don't think I'm going to beat my head against like 100%ing getting everything or worry too much about like getting all the quests through, because you know that is impossible in Dark Souls 2. But I'm very excited to get into the DLC because I've had a lot of people speak very highly of it.
Yeah, man, go for it.
And I've picked up the torch from David. I'm carrying the torch forward of someone must always be playing a Souls game.
Oh, and so it must be for now and for always.
Yeah, so that's me.
Sorry, I'm not sharing the loot on that one.
No, you gave it a shot. That's all you can ask. That's all anybody could ask, you know? So cool. Are you all ready to button it up?
Nope.
No? What else you got?
I just wanted to keep talking until the break of dawn.
I love you have this one very specific place where you're contrary, Ben.
That is not true. And my statement of saying that's not true is an example of that.
You're right. I'll show you how not contrary I am. Okay, Dennis, can we button it up?
To quote Jala, buttons.
Okay, cool. So thank you so much for listening to level number 161. Oh my gosh, so many episodes of this show, of like a bunch of shows. Like we have a lot of shows that are getting into like the upper, like basically like pushing 200, which is crazy.
Yeah, where the number means nothing other than just big, like long running.
It ceases
any meaning.
Well, yeah, I just edited like episode number like 51 of Monster on my podcast, which I understand that's not fair. Like I can't be shocked about that because there are three of them in a week. But like, man, we've done a lot of shows for a very long time.
Yeah.
But that's just like a weird observation. People know this.
The Pod Empire.
Yeah, the Pod Pyre. Which sounds like a place where you go to burn pod people. But yeah, you guys know the usual stuff. We still have the Team Fortress 2 server going on for Watch Out for Fireballs, and that is a place where you can join all kinds of network people. Go to duckfeed.tv/TF2 to see that. Reminder, TF2 is a free-to-play game, and there is pretty much nothing stopping you from joining us and having a good time. But for this show,
we'll run on anything.
Oh yeah,
like we'll run on a wet brick.
Yeah, it'll run on your grandma's pacemaker. Like, yeah, it's I don't recommend it, but it can. Regardless, there are ways you can help this show. Ratings and reviews on iTunes. Telling a friend is the biggest thing. Like, shout it from the rooftops. And if you're shy about that, tell it to your friend who likes video games and also likes hearing things. Make sure they can hear. That's very important. And also, if you would like to help us monetarily, there is the Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Is there anything that I'm forgetting, fellas?
Nah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Ben, if somebody wanted to follow you, if you decided to do No Man's Sky as a stream, where would they follow you to get a notification when that happens?
If they wanted to do that, if I post, if I'm good, they could follow on Facebook. If I'm not good, they could find me at Merkill on the PlayStation Network. I don't think I've advertised that one before. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
If you want to follow Jala, she is Jalachan in places and also Neon Sky Studio. And Ben.
You can follow me at Merkalizer on Twitter as well.
Yeah, and stick around for some titles. Eat the leg. Okay, who has something they want to throw in?
I got four.
I have a few.
Okay. Ben, go ahead.
I'm going to go from worst to best.
Okay.
I like these sounds. I have Podpire, because that was good. I have either Star Mouth or Smash Wars, depending upon which one you want to, how you want to make that.
I'm going to do that Star Mouth / Smash Wars.
Yeah. Or my favorite is My Rump is My Bond.
Wow. So Jala stylized that differently. I think what I said was my hips are my bond.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had written down.
Yeah. Dennis, what have you got?
I've got, so that my hips are my bond. I've got Pokemon Spore. And then I've got no middle faders.
That is a Monster Factory goof, so we cannot do no middle faders.
Ah.
Yeah.
I still need to get into that. Okay, cool.
It's fantastic. Then, it's one of the funniest things on the internet. So yeah.
Then Pokemon Spore is my only other contribution.
Yeah.
I like my hips are my bond.
Let's see here. I've got, so Jala had a lot of the ones that I had, so I'm just gonna say the ones that I wrote down. I had Tool Assistant mm-hmm. Podcast, Tzerd, which is Drizzed backward. Dennis the one and only, my hips are my bond, or Nialo Jalalisms.
Did Jell have any others besides those?
Oh yeah, she had a Planet Stupid Horse Shit, which I don't think we can do because of a filter on iTunes. Work Once and Never Again, and also My Hips Don't Lie. I'm pretty fond of My Hips Are My Bond because all of us kind of hit on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in one version or another. I agree.
Yeah. Ben, do you have any objections? Is there?
I do not.
Okay. You also, I think that you rated that as your best one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, pretty good. Pretty fertile title. Fertile title field. Yeah.
Your hips are fertile. Cool.
Yay.
I need to get off this call now.
Yeah, we probably ought to. We're going weird places. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Ben, let me know how No Man's Sky is. I'm very tempted by it, but I don't know if it's for me just yet.
I will text you updates and let you know if it is all fluff or all awesomeness.
Cool.
All right.
Later, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a good week. See ya.